Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Nitya Gora Haribol 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 Nityai Gora Haribol Nityai Gora Haribol 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 Nityai Gora Haribol Jayam Visnupada Paramahamsa Paripajakacharya Satara Satasya Simadhis Divine Grace Aisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kija Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Prayansi Kohosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Chamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanki Ganga Maiki Chamuna Maiki Tulasi Devi Maharani Ki Gora Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 24, Madhyam 5, chapter 24, text 22 and 23, and I think 24 as well. So we'll start with text 22. All the way to 24. Okay, please repeat. Bibur rupe vyape sakche darana posana. Bibur rupe vyape sakche darana posana. Madhurya sakche goloka aishwarye parovyama. Anybody wants to chant? Vibhu rupe vyape sakche darana posana. Madhurya sakche goloka swarye parobhyama. Anybody else? Okay, we'll continue then because there are three verses and it's kind of... There is a lot in these verses that we are going to discuss in a minute. Vipur rupe, in his all-pervasive feature, vyape, expands, sakche, by his potency, dharanaposana, maintaining and nourishing, madhurya sakche, by his potency of conjugal love, Goloka, the planetary system, Goloka Vrindavan. Aishwarye, and by opulence. Parabhyoma, the spiritual world. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Through all His pervasive feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has expanded the entire creation. He is holding and maintaining this creation by his extraordinary potency. By his conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. Through his six opulences, he maintains many Vaikuntha planets. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In his gigantic form, Lord Krishna has covered the creation. He holds all the planetary systems and maintains them by his inconceivable potencies. Similarly, he is maintaining his personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, through his conjugal love, and he is maintaining the spiritual world, containing the Vaikuntha planets, by his opulences. So we'll continue to the next verse now. Please repeat. Maya sakche brahmandadi paripati srajana. Urukramma sabdera e artha nirupanna. Translation. The word Urukrama indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who by his external potency has perfectly created innumerable universes. Text number 24. This is the last verse we do today. Kramaha shaktao paripatyam kramas chalana kampayoho. Kramaha shaktao paripatyam kramas chalana krampayoho. Translation. These are the different meanings of the word krama. It is used in the sense of potency, systematic arrangement, step, moving, or trembling. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from the Vishwa Prakash Dictionary. The Supreme Personality of God, of Godhead is all-pervasive. Not only does He carry the three worlds by His inconceivable energy, but He maintains them also. He's also maintaining His spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan, by His conjugal love. And he's maintaining the Vaikuntha lokas by his opulences. He maintains the material universes through his external energy. The material universes are perfectly situated because they are created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Yarangyana Chalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yenatas Mai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nite Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Mare Precharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine. So we are going to speak a few words on text number 22. Through his all-pervasive feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has expanded the entire creation. He's holding and maintaining this creation by his extraordinary potency. By his conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. Through his six opulences, he maintains many, many, many Vaikuntha planets. So, to speak on this subject matter is kind of a little bit challenging, so I brought the help from a couple of things here that may be able to get us a glimpse of what this verse is saying, basically an explanation of the Atmarama verse. Last Saturday, we had a very, very nice class by Professor Krishna Abhishek Prabhu. He is really those students that study with him, they are very lucky to have such a great professor teaching them Sanskrit and Indian culture. Really, he is a very extraordinary person who really understands the philosophy quite well. So I took some notes while he was speaking, and so I just wanted to take from what he said and see how we can expand. His verse was, even if a learned man is able to count all the minute atoms in this material world, he still cannot count the potencies of Lord Vishnu in the form of the Vamana incarnation. Lord Vishnu, without hindrance, capture all the planets extending from the root of the material world up to Satyaloka. Indeed, he caused every planetary system to tremble by the force of his steps. That was his verse. But in this verse is like a follow-up to that, which is that, well, these are all the potencies of the Supreme Lord. He can do all of these things. But beyond this, by his conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. Through his six opulences, he maintains many Vaikuntha planets. So of the notes that I took, there are a few things that I wanted to mention so we remember what he said and so we can understand what this verse 22 is saying here. And so he said that the Vedas are written in some kind of poetry, and poetry is not prose, because prose is kind of linear. When you talk in prose, like right now I'm talking in prose, and it's a linear kind of language. But he said, in poetry, poetry uses metaphors and metonymies to create a story. It is not about the words only. It is something deeper. There's something deep that is expressed through poetry. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita shows you how deep language can be. All stories are multi-layered with many meanings. Poetry talks about reality in many layers in rhythm. Poetry is always inspired. And here I just wanted to stop for a second so that we can meditate a little bit on what he just said here last week concerning poetry, which has to do with rhythm, metaphor, and creating layers of meaning within the meaning. So it's very, very beautiful. And also because there is a rhythm in poetry. There is a rhythm. And as we are speaking the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can see that there is a rhythm in that language. There is a poetry. And the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he mentions that later. So poetry talks about reality in many layers in rhythm. It's very deep, when we are talking in poetry. And also there is rhythm and there is language and there is musicality. And this is what we are experiencing when we listen from Bhagavatam. There is a musicality that makes us get into the story. It's very, very beautiful. In the Indian educational system, he continued, we start with poetry and mathematics fused together. And then he went into describing how we use the counting of the Gayatri Mantra. Om Bhur Bhuva Svatat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devas. And he said that, well, you count 10 times each one of those mantras. And then the counting is very important because it creates some kind of spiral when you count it with your fingers. And this is very common in Indian counting. So it's a mathematics mixed with poetry. That's what he's saying earlier. That mathematics actually becomes some kind of extra activity that connects the poetry with the universe. And so he mentions how it creates a spiral when we are counting. Very similar to when we count, when I study tabla drums, I study with a very well-known tabla player. His name, he passed recently, very wonderful musician. His name was Shakir Hussain. And Shakir taught me how to count on my fingers. And when we had music concerts, you would see the people, and especially his students, would be in the front counting with his finger, with the fingers, the tal. So if the tal was in tintal, then you would count da din din da da din din da da tin tin na na din din da da din, and then you would know when the sum came, when the one came, and when the nine came with the kali. The kali means the empty beat. So if you would count, then you would know what he was doing, because what happened is that this also creates some kind of a spiral, and the drummer, he would create all kinds of improvisations on that tal, on the tal which is created by the spiral. So he would create and embellish the rhythms. It was very, very beautiful, actually, what these drummers can do in India. You can do that in tabla drumming or the classical mardangam drumming from South India. That's the way it is done. So usually there is someone in front of the drummer counting the beats, and so the drummer can see where the beat is, so he can add his own improvisations, and it just keeps adding on and on and on, so it becomes like eternal kind of situation. So, which is related, he was saying, this spiral is related to the Fibonacci series. So, the Shalagram Shila, also mentioned, the Shalagram Shila is a spiral. It says that the universe is always expanding. It is an increasing number series. So the Gayatri points to the same principle of expansion. So everything is expanding. It's expanding unlimitedly. And so I just brought a couple of, just a poem to read to you. That what poetry, how the different layers of poetry can only express through poetry. It's like prose really cannot get to that level of understanding of things. And this poem, I wrote it after I became a devotee. Now, before I became a devotee, or I understood a little bit about the principles of Krishna consciousness and become attracted by this movement, I was training poetry since I was a kid. My grandfather was a poet, my father was an actor, and they taught me how to recite poetry in Spanish. So Spanish is a very beautiful musical language, and it's just very beautiful. It has all these rhythms and all of these nuances, and it's very extraordinary. And so since I was a child, in the high school, I used to go to different classrooms. The teachers would invite me to come and recite the poetry. So I became used to reciting poetry in classes. So when I was in college, I kept going the poetry recitations and so on. And at some point, you know, I created some very, very beautiful poetry, very nice musical poetry. It was very nice. Spanish poetry is very mystical also. So, and I thought that I was, you know, like a a well-known poet. You know, I used to bring many people coming to my poetry readings in Berkeley and San Francisco, and I thought that I was a great poet or something. And then a friend of mine said, you know, I found this book, it's called The Mahabharata. You may like to read it. I said, oh yeah, I know The Mahabharata. Yeah, I studied when I was in Spain and, you know, I've read some things. She said, yeah, you should read it. So I read The Mahabharata. And when I read the stories from The Mahabharata, I said, wow, this is real poetry. I don't know anything about poetry. And then I stopped writing. I said, I don't need to write anymore. This is way beyond whatever I can write. There is no way I could ever write anything like this. It was just way beyond my understanding of poetry. So I didn't write for a long time. But then I became, because I'm used to certain things like music and poetry, and I'm into culture, then I start writing again a little bit, but more in the devotional vein. So I wrote this poem just to give you an idea as to what poetry can do and say that we cannot do with prose. Today, I have seen your mask changing faces in the sun. A lion, a boar, a horse, a beautiful woman playing with a ball. You are a child playing with time, and I have caught you because I know your name, Krishna. So like that, you can express things with poetry that are very, very mystical and kind of not able to express that with prose. So let's continue just a little bit farther before we go into the verse here. So then he said that as you grow, you figure out how mathematics and poetry work together. It creates another system of thinking. In this way, you learn the subtleties of poetry. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate examination because it is the ultimate expression of poetry. It is the poetry of ecstasy. The poetry of ecstasy. Very, very beautiful. And then he goes into enumeration of the different different shastras that there are. Then he went explaining that. And then we get to the I just wanted to get to the main points of the lecture so that I can go and speak a few words on this verse. He said that the different shastras and systems are different, but at the end of the day, he said, you need ruchi. Ruchi is the essence of rasa. And rasa will make different things, but only Krishna will satisfy our ruchi. And now I would like to read this verse, which is the first verse of the Shikshastakam, says, glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it sprays the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. And it enables us to fully taste, ruchi, taste, the nectar for which we are always anxious. So that's what the Sankirtan movement does. It just makes you fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. As he says, only Krishna will satisfy our ruchi. Nobody wants to grow old. There is never a win-win situation in this world. But the world is full of life. And then he goes on to say how there is so much more life than just the human life. So, and because I need to speak a few words about this verse 22, just finish here, which is, I think this was the main part of his lecture that I wanted to bring up, which is that he spoke on the meaning of the word Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he said, Amrita, the word Amrita has two meanings, immortal and beautiful. And Charita means life story and character, and Chaitanya means consciousness and Mahaprabhu. So your consciousness, he said, has an immortal nature. When your consciousness experiences deathlessness. So Amrita means nectar. When I heard that, I immediately thought about that beautiful music, which is Amrita, the raga is called Amrita Varshini. It's very beautiful. And so I was thinking, wow, yes. So Amrita is that nectar that we are always anxious because we want to taste deathlessness. That was very, very beautiful concept. And then he ended by saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu represents the highest level of consciousness that can be reached, which is Mahabhava, the nature of consciousness in immortality. Because that's when you reach the point to understand that we are eternal, that, you know, our body will disintegrate, disappear in the material sense, but our soul will move on. Then you can experience that immortality. But now, if we are immortality, he says, who is the creator of all of these universes and everything that happens? How does this is what we are discussing here? Well, the previous verse was about the appearance of Lord Varaha. And how Lord Vamana, and how the Vamana incarnation conquer all the planets by just three steps of land. And then he goes on to say, that's verse 22 that we are supposed to speak about today, that through his all-pervasive feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has expanded the entire creation. He's holding and maintaining the creation by his extraordinary potency. By his conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. Now, if Krishna is maintaining Goloka Vrindavan by his conjugal love, by his conjugal potency, as is said here, that means that the universe is maintained, also created, expanded by love, by his love. So ultimately, Krishna is love. That is all about love, the loving relationships between himself and his devotees and the souls and his own expansions. It's all about love, that conjugal potency. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us a very, very important lesson, which was to bring us to the point beyond the previous point, which was the worship of Vishnu is always in awe and reverence. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bring us the rasas, the taste, the ruchi of the rasas, he brought this teaching of conjugal love. And we have in the Adi Lila, chapter 1 here, when it is explained that there are three major deities in Vrindavan. So in the Temple of Jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble, respectful obeisances unto them. So there are three major deities in Vrindavan. One is the deity of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, to help us pray to him so that we can control our senses. Then there is, of course, the deity of Sri Sri Radha and Mohan. He says, glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors and their lotus feet are everything to me. So Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and the number three deity, important deity in this theology of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Sri Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellows of the rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vrindavan and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. So that's what this verse is talking about, that Shri Gopinath is playing on his flute and he's attracting the gopis. And by that potency of his conjugal potency, okay, by his extraordinary potency, which is the conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. If there was no Goloka Vrindavan, we would not be here. There is no reality other than Goloka Vrindavan. Without Goloka Vrindavan, there is no existence. There is nothing. So how is that? How is that? Because Krishna is attracting everyone and is maintaining everyone by his conjugal potency. That's what the verse is saying. So now I was thinking, well, how are we to understand this? It's just, my mind is not big enough. I cannot really understand these things. So I have to use a little tool that I have here called the flute. The bamboo flute is just a very simple instrument. It's just made out of bamboo. And I was trying to understand, well, how does Krishna do that? How does he attract all the gopis and everyone and creates this conjugal potency? Well, he's attracting it mainly, and I haven't played in this, I don't think I played this raga before. There is a raga that he plays to attract the gopis to perform the rasa dance, because that's what Prabhupada is saying here, right? At the end, it says, as we read earlier, that he's maintaining his personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, through his conjugal love, and he's maintaining the spiritual world containing the Vaikuntha planets by his opulences, you know, the opulences of renunciation, fame, and so on. But the conjugal relationship, the conjugal potency, this is what binds everything together. Without the conjugal potency, there wouldn't be anything. And this is the amazing thing that Prabhupada brought to us. This is why we call him Nirvishesha Sunjabadi, is because there is no real conjugal potency unless God was a person. If God is not a person, if God is impersonal, well, how are you going to establish this conjugal potency or conjugal relationship? So, but because God is a person, that's what Prabhupada brought to us. He kind of gave us the nectar, the ruchi, to taste that rasa, that relationship of the conjugal relationship between Krishna and the gopis. And he came to the West, actually, to express that, and he was praying that somebody would come and listen to him, because he had a hard time in India. I mean, there were a few people listening to him, but he really... Of course, we always say, well, Srila Prabhupada came because his spiritual master told him to come to the West. Yeah. But he was trying to preach in India, too. He was preaching. He was going to Delhi all the time. He was really trying to get people to hear his philosophy, which he understood from the words of his spiritual master. And then he said, well, I might as well surrender and go to the West, because over here these Indian people are not listening to me so much anyway, so I might as well do what I'm supposed to do. So he came to the West, and then he met a few people that were kind of tired of the material world, and then they start listening to his philosophy. And then before you know it, he installed the deities. This is very important. He installed these deities of Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Vrindavan Chandra. Now, who is Vrindavan Chandra? What is that name? Vrindavan Chandra means the Lord of the moon of Vrindavan. The Lord of the moon of Vrindavan. That is actually the deity of the rasa dance. Shri Gopinath manifested as Vrindavan Chandra. It's not that Kirtanananda Maharaj in Vrindavan, he had this great idea and he was such a great devotee that he figured it out, oh yeah, this is the deity. No, Prabhupada told him. Prabhupada installed those deities. And of course, there are many comments about how in the beginning Kirtanananda Maharaj wanted to start his own movement and so on. But then he surrendered. He surrendered and built a temple, a palace of gold for his master. And then he started listening to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told him, the deities that we want to install is Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, the Lord of the Moon of Vrindavan. Why? Because under the moon, the full moon of Vrindavan, is where all these conjugal love relationships are developing in the Rasa dance. So I'm going to play this little, Lord Krishna allows me to play this because it's not an easy thing to do. But I remember back in 2011, 15 years ago, I went to Vrindavan and the devotees invited myself and my wife Brihan to come with them on Purnima Day. They rented a boat. We went to the other side of the Yamuna River and we were out there in the middle of nowhere in the forest. And then they made a fire and we were chanting. And then they said, okay, when the moon was rising, the devotee said, now play for us the music on your flute that Krishna plays in Vrindavan during the full moon. This is Purnima, so please pray for us. And so I played for them this raga, which is really the most sacred raga that I know, that I can think of. Again, I can only play a few notes now because to play this instrument, although it sounds like a very simple instrument, it's actually quite difficult to master. It takes a lot of work, practice, and even my teacher would have to like play for 2 hours before he gave a concert just to get his hands fluid and so on. So I can only play a few notes for you. And of course, Sri Krishna Balaram is like God. So if he allows me to play a little bit, then I'll play a little bit. If he doesn't want me to play too much, I'll just play a couple notes. That's all. So Krishna is in charge. Let me see. So this is the raga that Krishna plays. During the full moon and attracts the gopis. So this is very, very sacred. This is the raga that he's playing by which he is expanding his conjugal potency. Raga Chandra Kos. Chandra Kos or Counts. Chandra Counts or Chandra Kos. The raga of the Lord of the full moon of Vrindavan. Is related to raga Malkosh. Malkosh is actually a raga that glorifies Srimati Radharani. So it's more like, it's a raga dedicated to the consort of the Lord of the Moon of Vrindavan. But this is Chandra Kos is actually the raga that Krishna plays. A little bit different. It has a flat third, flat six. The main note is the fourth, and a raised seventh. Mm-hmm. Krishna. Thank you. So, yeah, that's Raga Chandra Kosh. Very, very beautiful raga. The last few nights it was full moon here, so I was just playing it at home in the forest. It was very interesting, beautiful. Of course, we play very beautiful music. When my wife plays on the harp, we do our arti in the evenings with the harp and the flute. It's very, very beautiful music. So because it is all based in Krishna, Krishna consciousness, so whatever is related to Krishna, it just has a very transcendental, beautiful feature, beautiful nature. So all the universes, that's what the verse is saying here. So he's holding and maintaining this creation by his extraordinary potency, by his conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. So that is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Is that you think about, if you think, well, how is that possible? How could it be? And we will see later as we go through the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the current teachings of Kapila Dev to Devahuti, that you will see that in Sankhya philosophy, according to Kapila Dev, is that the whole creation comes from sound. You'll see the first element is sound. And sound, by the effect, by the influence of time. Okay? So time changes sound into the different aspects of the creation. The different material elements come by the influence of time on sound. So when we talk about sound, what sound is this? Well, what does Brahma Samhita says? What does Lord Brahma says? Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. In other words, that, you know, that's all Krishna is doing, is playing on his flute. And so what is that sound that is coming from his flute? It is actually produced from the navel, from actually is coming from the inside of Krishna. That breath is the prana of God, is the prana of God that is coming and is being transformed through a beautiful music of his flute. But the music, it really is his will, is the will. And that will is expressing all the different rasas. So the rasas are coming from his love that is coming from inside of him. And they are being transformed into beautiful music, beautiful emotional systems that are into sound vibration. And by the effect of time and on sound, then we create all this universe. Now, when Lord Vishnu breathes in the universe and breathes out the universes, this is the sound that is created. It's not that, in other words, everything at the end of creation, how does Lord Shiva destroys the universe? It's by sound. The drum that he's playing is also by sound. So that means everything comes back into sound. You know, it's like, I said this before, it's like Tesla said, if you want to find the basis of all matter, then you got to look at vibrational energy. So for Tesla, one of the greatest scientists of the last century, everything is based on vibrational energy. In other words, this matter is only solid because my finger is also has solidity. But the atoms, which is what the Vedas talk about, and also in his class, Krishna Abhishek Prabhu was talking about that, you know, yes, there is the atom, but the atom is just a theoretical model of vibration. The electrons are moving around something, and what is an electron anyway? It's just a vibration. So a vibration, what is it? It's frequency. What is that? It's sound. And if you have sound and time put together, that's music. So the music of Krishna is really the essence of the universe, what creates the universes and how the universes are being maintained. And if Krishna wouldn't be playing his flute and we wouldn't hear his music, then there wouldn't be a universe and we wouldn't be here either. So thank you, Krishna, for playing on your flute. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop right here. If there are any questions, we can take and we can continue. Any questions? All right. Everybody. Stita Dooley, you always have some questions. You don't have any questions today? No questions over there, yeah. Madam Mati.
Thank you for this very, very beautiful class. So poetry, if it's not dealing with transcendental literature, like every culture has poetry, but when it's translated into, say, for Spanish, for example, Spanish, when it's translated into English, you don't get the same thing, but the same effect is there?
You can get the translation, but the ways expressed in rhythm and time is very unique. Like I can tell you this poem, very short poem, that is from the Middle Ages, very famous poet named Jorge Manrique. And it says, I'll tell you the translation and I'll tell you the Spanish. The Spanish, you can hear the musicality of it. It's so beautiful. Recuerde el alma dormida. Avive el seso y despierte. Contemplando cómo se pasa la vida. Cómo se viene la muerte tan callando. Remember a sleeping soul. Wake up. Avive el seso y despierte. Wake up. Despierte. Contemplando, how life goes by very quickly. Cómo se pasa la vida tan callando. How quietly and tan callando. Recuerde el alma dormida. Avive el seso y despierte. Contemplando cómo se pasa la vida. How life is going by. Y cómo se viene la muerte tan callando. And how quietly death is coming. Beautiful. But when you hear the translation, it's almost more like prosaic, like prose, yeah? But when you hear the Spanish, it's just very captivating for the mind. And you want to hear more about what the verse is about, yeah?
So it seems like when you talk about transcendental topic, the poetry is real. I mean, because then you can relate to that in any language. So, when we read Sanskrit, you know, especially verses, they're very beautiful, even though we don't understand them word for word. They're very beautiful. So that's how I don't understand how poetry and mathematics merge together to make that. I can understand the meter and stuff, but I don't understand the merging of them. Will you explain?
Yes, it does take a little studying. And also because when you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, like we chant it, and also we chant to a certain point because you have like the great pandits like Raghunath, Swami, and some of the great, great, great acharyas. They could even sing in three or four many different melodies the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it becomes very beautiful, very enthralling because poetry has an element, as Krishna Abhishek was saying, it has an element of the mysterious, the mystical. It is always created. It is a revelation, so to speak. And so poetry, it really is very musical. So it's the connection of the music, the sound vibration with the meaning that is being revealed to the poet and is being expressed. Now, for us, ourselves, the only thing we are very lucky that Srila Prabhupada came and gave us a word-by-word translation of the meaning of those verses. So now we can understand to a certain point. I mean, we are not Sanskrit scholars. Some people are. Some devotees became Sanskrit scholars and they developed this knowledge of the Sanskrit and they can appreciate the meaning of the words in the Sanskrit. But we ourselves, we have to go through this word-by-word translation and take our time to understand it. But nonetheless, the most important thing for us at this point is really to understand the meaning of the words more than the musicality, unless you became like a scholar of Sanskrit or something like that. But the most important thing is to realize what the verses are talking about, you know. Do I make sense? You know, this is the most important thing, more than the musicality in one sense.
It's funny because my daughter loves Sanskrit. She doesn't really, I mean, she, you know, she speaks Hindi, but she listens to Sanskrit all day. She loves the meter, and she, you know, she's always listening, whatever she's doing, you know, cooking. Or, and I said, do you understand what's going on? She said, I just love it. I just love Sanskrit.
So. It could also be a past life thing, or there's some people that are naturally attracted to certain things. Well, why was I ever attracted to the Bansuri flute? I don't know. It's like when the first time I picked up a flute, it was like mystical. Like I was with a group of people, they were playing music, and I saw this flute, and I put it to my lips, and I started playing with them right away. And so after, we were playing for like an hour, and then after that, my friend, who is a flautist, came to me and said, I didn't know you played the flute. I said, I didn't either. It's the first time I picked up a flute. He said, really? How could that be? I said, he couldn't understand. But he said, well, now I need to introduce you to a teacher. You need to study flute. I said, all right. Who is? And then he introduced me to my teacher, Govardhan Singh Sachdev, one of the greatest flautists, happened to live in San Francisco Bay Area, and I was able to study with a very great, great musician. I guess Krishna's arrangement.
How many years have you been studying?
About 7 or 8 years or so. But then, of course, I continue my own studies on my own by listening. And but I was very intense, very intense. I mean, I used to practice 8 hours a day, and, you know. And then I used to produce the music concerts for my teachers, for Sakir Hussain and Sachdev. I produced many of their music concerts. So that's how I would pay for my lessons, because they were expensive. I didn't have much money. So I would work for them, and then I would get free classes. Well, not free. I had to work. That's what I did.
You were saying when you became a devotee, you understand the real meaning of playing the flute. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You can only play these ragas up to a point, you know. And my teacher, he was a Vaishnava also. And he was telling me these things about Krishna and the songs. All this music that we play is all based on songs. And he would tell us all these songs from the Vaishnava tradition, but I didn't quite really understand it. And also, you really don't get the depth of the music until, or at least for me, I don't know about other musicians, I can only speak for myself, but I didn't understand the depth of the music until I started playing in the temples for Krishna. That's when I really learned how to play the music. Because I would sit in the temples in front of the deity for hours and hours and hours, I mean, literally speaking, I mean, many hours, and I would just play. And then all of a sudden, I felt like I was not even playing. It was like, I was just moving my fingers, but the music was coming out somehow. Which is what my teacher said. He said, you gotta practice so much that when the music comes through, wants to glorify God, that your fingers move automatically. You don't want to put yourself in between you and the music. In other words, Saraswati is expressing herself and wants to glorify God. So you just want to sit down and, you know, just play what is coming from your inside, your emotional being, so to speak. So that's why we, in Indian music, yeah, you are supposed to practice for many, many hours. Even very great masters, they do practice. My teacher would never start a concert without practicing or warming up for at least 2 hours. He would sit down with the tabla player and they would start playing. And, you know, then when he was ready, he would stop and he'd say, okay, now open the doors, let the audience come in. Now we are ready, he would say. Now we are ready. Yeah. So it's a different understanding of things. Now, in the West, you know, we sit down to play. Like, we do a lot of performances, especially with my wife, Brihan Devi. We play classical music. And you're supposed to sit down and start playing right away. You're supposed to play in perfect pitch and perfect tone. And it's just... In Indian music is different. In Indian music, you sit down and you listen to the drones and you kind of warm up to it. You let the music to come into you. And then after that, yeah, the music is speaking through you. Saraswati Deva really is an actual being. Prabhupada speaks that in the Bhagavatam as well. Sarigama Padanisa is an actual, they are actual beings, servants of Saraswati.
Music is a universal language. Everybody loves music.
Jai.
No wonder it's so beautiful.
Jai, thank you. Hare Krishna.
So Prabhu, were you expressing that the ragas comes from the rasas?
Yes, right. The emotional, yeah, the rasas are expressed in ragas. So there are ragas that express the different emotions like separation, love, wonderment, jealousy. There are some ragas that Srimati Radharani plays that Krishna doesn't play, like Bhageshwari, because it expresses that longing for God, but at the same time, the jealousy. Sometimes Srimati Radharani can get jealous from, and can express that through her own music. Now, she plays beautiful flute as well. She's a great flautist. So, all the emotions, feelings of separation, longings, and beautiful, beautiful sounding, like when Krishna is playing in the forest, like Raga Hamsa Dwani is playing in the forest, and it's all very nice and happy, and the cowherd boys are following him, and it's just all very nice, beautiful, the birds are singing. So it depends on what the emotion you want to express. You can express that through the flute.
I'm thinking the understanding is that Krishna has individual rasa with each living entity, yeah? So yeah. There are unlimited living entities. So would you say that there are unlimited ragas as Krishna expresses?
From that point of view, yes. I don't know everything that Krishna does or plays. I hope I can get to go to Goloka Vrindavan one day so I can hear him there. Although I have heard some glimpses of his music here, just glimpses that Krishna has given me, a little taste. Okay, this is what we can play over there, okay? So I don't really want to be here in this planet too long, because I really would like, I'll be here as long as Krishna wants me to be here, you know? So I'll be here for as long as is necessary to do the service, but I really would like to hear him playing, you know, once we get to Goloka Vrindavan, if I ever get to be there. But there are unlimited ragas. I personally studied about 72 or 70 ragas. I know the names and how they are built, and I used to do that as for fun, kind of, this new raga, Madhubanti, how does that sound? You know, the raga that Madhava plays, or Madhubanti, you know, the sweet raga, you know. How does Shivaranjani sounds? Or, you know, I would just get into the ragas, I would study the books, I listen to great masters playing it, and then I would just try to play. There are ragas you can create heat or fire, and there are ragas you can create rain. Yeah, you can. I experienced that too. I recorded this raga once, and I had to have like 3 fans near me because I was like sweating and said, I'll never teach this raga. In fact, I've never played this raga in concert, and I've never taught it to my students. I said, this is dangerous. You don't want to teach the fire raga. But the rain raga is much more interesting. I would play it for the kids in the middle school and the elementary school in Hawaii. I used to play this raga, and I would tell the kids, you know, this is the music that creates the rain, you'll see. And it would be like a nice rainy day. A sunny day, it would be sunny, you know, no clouds or anything. I would play this raga, and, you know, like clockwork, within 2 or 3 hours, the clouds would move in and it would rain. And then the next day, I would come back to school, the kids, it was raining yesterday, it was raining, you create rain. I said, no, I didn't create rain, I just play the music, that's what it does, you know. So, yeah, it is true that certain sound vibration can you know, create, attracts different devas or like Indra or whatever, you know. In other words, this is not just a make-believe philosophy. This is a real thing. This is the real philosophy. And once you get in tune with the universe, get in tune with the devas, the sun, Surya, Indra, you know, Saraswati, Lakshmi, yeah, these deities are there, even though you try to disregard them. No, they are there. They want to serve Krishna, and they are here to help you somehow or other. You just have to listen to them.
Thank you for such a wonderful class. That raga is Meghamalar. Meghamalar, the sound cloud, rain raga. Meghamalar. Malar.
Oh, Meghamalar, yes. Meghamalar is Raga Megh, yes. Raga Megh is the rain raga. Is actually Meghamalar is close to Vrindavan, Vrindavani Sarang. Vrindavani Sarang, Krishna places in the afternoon to cool down the atmosphere because it's too hot. And he just wants the cowherd boys to be nice and relaxed, and so he'll play Vrindavani Sarang, cool down the atmosphere. It doesn't make it rain, it just cools down. It's like an air conditioned type of natural air condition on his flute, and makes the atmosphere very beautiful and cool. Yeah, that you can experience, it's very nice. Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. Just wondering, language is interesting, you know, like, of course, I grew up with the English language. But I also was exposed to, in the Catholic Church, I was exposed to Latin, you know. And I'm wondering, when we're so used to, I'm so used to thinking in a certain language like English,
yes,
that when I switch to Sanskrit or Latin, it creates a change in patterns of thinking, you know, it's like
yes,
feelings and
yes,
emotions. And I'm just wondering, is that a fact, or is that really what's going on? Why we like different languages?
You'll experience a different. I mean, I teach Spanish now. That's one of my jobs at the Bhaktivedanta Academy. And so to teach a foreign language is a challenge. So I had to devise all kinds of techniques in order to get the students interested in learning a new language that has different sounds. And so I have to make it exciting for them so that they are willing to learn. Because if you don't want to learn anything, you can't. It just won't. So I have to make it all fun. You know, it has to be fun. But then once you really get into, like, this poem that I was just reading, Recuerde la alma dormida, I asked the students to recite it during our last fair here, and some of the students learned it. I had, like, 3 or 4 students, they recited different verses. And, yeah, it really changes your emotional being, in one sense, you know, when you learn another language.
I mean, I think what it does is it takes us out of our pattern and moves us into it. I mean, it's like even with Sanskrit, you know, you might not know exactly what it means, but even without that, it's just like it kind of massages the heart somehow or other. You know, you feel different.
Yeah, it is mystical. It is absolutely mystical, but also, we should try to study the books because we need to know the meaning of those verses. Besides, you know, I mean, when we hear, I hear sometimes Prabhupada chanting, and it's just, I'm just in the spiritual world, you know. He's chanting beautiful music, you know, like when I first heard him chanting at the Berkeley Temple, New Jagannath Puri, and I would hear him chanting during the dinner program. And I thought, wow, that music is from another world. It was like, to me, like from a different universe. It wasn't really material. So just the sound vibration produced by the lips from a pure devotee is actually transporting. They transport you to another dimensional system. it really does. Very, very beautiful. But now we do need to understand, and we need to give it to others. And that is, Prabhupada's mission is actually a preaching mission. It's preaching, meaning we got to give it to others, this knowledge of Krishna consciousness from the Bhagavad Gita. And so we have to think, how can we tell others about Krishna? This is very important. This is Prabhupada's thing. It's a preaching mission, really. Not just, well, we are going to study it because this is nice and it's for ourselves. No, it's not just for us. It's also because we got to give it to others. Jai, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. No more questions, Jai? Thank you. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.